How do you measure a life? There's an answer to that one. One way, at least, that you measure a life is by what it produces. And I don't mean in an economic sense. I'm not talking cranking out goods or services or getting a strong bottom line. I mean that one of the key aspects of life is the fruit that life produces in Christ. And that is going to be our theme on these Lenten Wednesdays this year as we explore the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that God can grow within us, those qualities that make life right, that make life good, that make life more of what God intends life to be. And our overarching scripture passage for this series this year is the one that was read as our second lesson tonight. Let's take one more look at that as we go back to page 1673 in the Bible. That's the fifth chapter of Galatians, and we'll focus on a couple of verses out of the several that were read earlier. Let's read together on page 1673, verses 22 and 23, about halfway down the page, verses 22 and 23 together now, as St. Paul writes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And in those crucial qualities, our challenge in this Lenten season is to grow in the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. A young girl was visiting a farm. She saw a very large watermelon there that she really wanted to buy, and so she asked the farmer about that. He said, sure. He said, it's $5. She said, well, I only have 50 cents. And the farmer looked around, and out there in the field, there was a much smaller watermelon to which he pointed, and he said, tell you what, you can have that one for 50 cents. She said, okay, I'll take it. And she said, leave it on the vine, though, and I'll be back in a month or two to pick it up. Talking growth here. We're going to be talking growth a lot in this Lenten season because God intends the fullness of this fruit of the Holy Spirit to be for all followers of Jesus. Just one clarification here. It probably gets confusing because several times the New Testament speaks of the gifts of the Spirit, or usually they're called spiritual gifts. That's different from the fruit of the Spirit. Gifts, that's plural. People have different gifts in the sense of talents and abilities. Not everybody has everything there. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, we are all expected to have the fullness of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. To the extent that if any of that is lacking in any of us at any time, then something essential is not there. That's why it's so important to focus on this. God intends this for every one of us, to make life more as the way God intends it to be. And tonight, we're going to look at the first three, love and joy and peace. We'll take those three together tonight, and frankly, very briefly tonight, not because they aren't as important as the others, quite the contrary. They are so important that we lift those up in some ways almost all the time here. So that almost every sermon invites us in some way to grow in love or joy or peace. But tonight we'll take them together to emphasize simply this. There are actually too many aspects of this fruit of the Spirit to do just one at a time in 6 or 7 weeks. But tonight, love and joy and peace, emphasizing that these are all from God. All of God's gifts. First, love. We have a wonderful devotional guide again this year, this Lenten season. And the devotional for tomorrow, written by Bob Kaiser, has to do with love. And he says that love is not always easy to love all of our neighbors. It's not always easy when our neighbors are disagreeable or different from us or annoying to us. Not always easy. But he says this and gets right to the heart of it. When he says, consider where we would be if God, in his unconditional love, had not given Jesus to us to die on the cross. Such a loving sacrifice God has given us. And so he says, let us open our hearts that we might share our love with our neighbor. Love is essential. And so is joy. Thanks be to God, joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Think of that a minute. Think of the good news of that. That God wants us to overflow in the quality of joy. Joy comes from God. A few weeks ago, I bought a package of salad. And you know when you get a package of something or a can of something, it will often say, sell by such and such a date or use by such and such a date. Well, this one said simply, enjoy by January 23rd. And I like that. But it's so sad to taste life and not enjoy it. What a bad taste it is when somehow one doesn't get the joy from life that God intends us to have, no matter how difficult life may be, no matter how demanding life may be. Life is intended for joy. About a year ago or so, there was a very inspirational video that made the rounds of the internet. And it began by focusing on a very winsome young man who was saying in a very winsome way how much he enjoyed life and all the things he could do. And then slowly the camera pulled away. And that's when you saw that this young man has no arms and no legs. And yet the joy continued, because as he explained, joy is from Christ. God really wants joy for us, and peace too. Peace. How we need peace sometimes. Kadine Hubert has a devotional in the week that is coming up, in which she talks about a time when there was some unemployment in her family. This can be very stressful, but she said that she found some marvelous verses to lean on. And let's take a look at those as we look to page 1687 in your Bible. Page 1687 in the fourth chapter of Philippians, which was written by St. Paul when he was not only unemployed, but actually imprisoned. And then the incredible stress of that. Look at what he writes on page 1687. Let's read verses 6 and 7, beginning at verse 6 now, as St. Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And Kadine tells in her devotional how true that is, that God is in control of every situation. We don't really have to worry so much. And as she says, that brought me great peace. So, God brings love and joy and peace. And yet on this Ash Wednesday, this day that so frequently invites us to repentance, this is a day when we really need to confess that we are not always living according to the fullness of God's love and joy and peace. It's a day to confess our sin. It's a day to confess that we need to grow in love and joy and peace. We can do that by focusing on Jesus Christ. Nadine Height has a wonderful devotional in which she tells about a system she has developed to help her focus on Jesus, where there's a quality or a name for Jesus that corresponds in its first letter to every one of the 26 letters of our alphabet. So that, for example, A, B, C, Jesus is almighty, blameless, comforter. And so she continues with every other letter in the alphabet. Well, this Lenten season, we're going to be focusing a lot on the cross of Christ and on his incredible fruit of the Spirit. That's our challenge for growth. James Michener, the writer, tells about a time he remembers from his boyhood when there was an old apple tree that really didn't seem to have the energy to bear much fruit anymore. And one spring, Michener was really surprised to see the owner of that apple tree go to it with 8 long rusty nails. And this man, this farmer, drove in all of those 8 nails to that old tree, 4 near the ground and 4 up higher on the trunk. And Michener says he was quite stunned that September or so to see that tree develop a tremendous bumper crop of apples. And so he asked the farmer about this, and the man said this. He said, hammering those rusty nails into the trunk was designed to give that tree a shock, so that it would remember that its main job is to produce apples. And then years later, Michener applied that to his own life when he was almost 80, when there were some nails in the trunk of his own life, quintuple bypass heart surgery, and a new hip, and other assaults on his body. But, he said, he remembered that incident from his childhood. And so when it was all over and all of these things he had gone through, he said this. He said, like a sensible old apple tree, I resolved to resume bearing fruit. Yes, that's what life is all about. That's how you measure a life. And so in this Lenten season, we're going to come again and again to the tree of the cross, to the one who was nailed there, hands and feet, nailed there for us, for our salvation, and for our fruitfulness. And whatever is going on in your life these days, remember, God wants, amidst your upbeats and amidst your disappointments, God wants to bring love and joy and peace to you and through you, flowing through you, now and for all eternity. Let's pray. Lord God, we are grateful that you care about our lives, that you measure our lives by what you give to us. Lord, you are the creator of life. You have sent your Son to die for us. You've sent your Holy Spirit to us over and over again to prompt you, to prompt us to newness of life in you. Lord, touch our hearts tonight and be with us on that journey. Lead us on that journey, that we may truly grow in the fruit of the Spirit. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.